from Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I want to get to this Montana Sentinel story here. You know, I mentioned earlier in the week this Montana Democrat embezzlement scandal is bigger than just one person. And a former board member for the Montana Democrat Party is basically sharing the smoking gun evidence that this is about more than just one person. And what you're seeing is you're seeing, you know, some of these Democrat office holders like Zoe Zephyr, or, you know, you remember the crazy votes of this Cora Newman. You could call her crazy Cora if you wanted to, because of her crazy votes that she took. They're going to pretend to be the victims in all this. But I think what Jesse Mullen is exposing here, the Democrat former statewide office holder, is that the Democrats were in on this whole scam. They were raking in so much cash from so many different places, especially old Zoe Zephyr. Anyway, we'll get to that story here. Darren Gobb's got a great report at the Montana Sentinel. But this one, totally different story here. But speaking of a lot of money and what's happening with a lot of that money, did you guys see this story over the weekend? This one did not get as much attention as it probably deserves. Did you guys see this? So apparently this deals with the Northern Cheyenne tribe in southeast Montana. The Billings Gazette had an explosive report here. Calls for change and corruption claims spark division in the Northern Cheyenne tribe. So let's just be honest here. Look what happened over the last 4 years with the Biden tester regime. They were dumping Mexican drug cartel operatives and Tren de Aragua thugs on reservations all over the country. But what were they also doing? Handing out a lot of taxpayer money. Apparently, the president of the Northern Cheyenne tribe, Gene Small, he has called for an accounting of the, what, $90 million in federal funding that the Northern Cheyenne tribe took in since 2020. $90 million. And apparently, basically, what Northern Cheyenne President Gene Small is saying is he's saying, hey, look, I want to see an audit here. You know, I've ran my own business. I've audited my own books. Why am I not seeing where this $90 million in taxpayer funds went to? I mean, this was just a massive story that was reported. And hats off to the Billings Gazette for reporting this. I think they had a reporter actually head out to the Northern Cheyenne Reservation to cover the story. So, but because he is asking that question, because he is saying, hey, where did all this money go? They're trying to impeach him. They're trying to impeach the president of the Northern Cheyenne tribe. Let's see, here we go. In the midst of a pending forensic financial audit, allegations of abuse of power and elders occupying the lawn of the Little Wolf Capitol building in protest, the Northern Cheyenne tribe is on the brink of political upheaval. Many view the move as a pretext to oust Small and derail the audit that he ordered last month into the council's use of over $90 million in federal funding since 2020. Where did the $90 million go? The president of the tribe says he doesn't know where it went. Where did this money go? I mean, $90 freaking million. How many more times do I have to say 90 million? I mean, this is just insane. All right, back with more right after this.
Talk to truckers here in Montana, and they will tell you Montana is crawling with foreign truck drivers and truck drivers that don't speak English. We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com, but apparently it's not just the truck drivers. Did you hear about this crazy story or see the crazy photo at MontanaTalks.com? A Billings Police Department patrol car slammed into by a man from Honduras who's now been arrested. That story, MontanaTalks.com.
This is House Call for Health. Caught COVID and thought getting over symptoms was the worst of it? Research suggests an infection could increase your risk of other sinus issues as well. A study says getting sick with COVID-19 might boost a person's risk of developing asthma, seasonal allergies, and long-lasting sinus problems. Researchers compared over 900,000 people who'd been infected with COVID with more than 4.4 million people who'd been neither infected nor vaccinated. They found COVID patients had a 66% higher risk of developing asthma, a 70% 24% higher risk of chronic sinus inflammation and a 27% increased risk of hay fever. And people infected with COVID had more than twice the risk of asthma or sinus problems and 40% higher odds of hay fever compared to those who'd been vaccinated. The study was published in the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly?
What's in this box?
Is this tree good for climbing?
How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got a message here from James in Shepherd at the tail end of the 6 o'clock hour of the show. I was talking about how President Trump just held a three-hour cabinet meeting yesterday at the White House with all his cabinet members, the vice president, and more. It was kind of funny. At one point, I guess, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy took his shoes off. He was like, well, if we're going to be here for a while, I'm going to just get comfortable. Took his shoes off in the middle of the meeting. I'm just going to get comfortable. I would do the same thing if I was him. I'd be, you know, stretching my lower back over the chairs, you know, standing in the back of the room doing side bends, taking my shoes off, maybe rolling my foot on a golf ball, you know, to break up the fascia. You know, that's a good tip, by the way. If your feet are sore, roll it over a golf ball. Anyway, James and Shepherd says, could you imagine Joe Biden doing a three-hour camera session? Oh, man. Did he have a three-hour camera session when he was being questioned by federal investigators? And he couldn't even remember, like, key details of, like, when his son died or anything? Yeah, that was not good. Okay. I do want to get to this Montana Sentinel report, but I just want to go back here briefly to this big story that the Billings Gazette broke over the weekend. $90 million in federal funding since 2020. The Northern Cheyenne Tribal President, Gene Small, basically calling for an audit. He wants to know where all this money went. Sounds like he wants to make sure that the money goes to the programs and to the people that it's actually supposed to go to instead of, you know, who knows where else, right? And so now they're apparently some people are trying to impeach him. And so getting a little crazy out there, according to this Billings Gazette report. But do you guys remember, raise your hand, message me on the app if you want to or whatever, or you can call in. We got the phone lines open for you. Do you guys remember when all this ARPA money, all this federal money was being kicked out the door, all of your taxpayer dollars were being kicked out the door, and then that's what drove up inflation so bad and why everything still is so expensive? Do you guys remember me saying, look, be very cautious about taking this money. Be very cautious about how you use this money. Because we remember, at least I remember, what happened when Obama was president. And they had, you know, his so-called stimulus funds that went out all over the country. And what happened? Okay, so of course, the Democrats give all this money to all these, tribal leaders, you know, organizations, to these tribal nations. And then what did the Obama administration end up doing? What was it, a couple years later? I had one prosecutor tell me it was like shooting fish in a barrel. Then basically the federal government started prosecuting a lot of these tribal leaders who took the Obama stimulus money. And so that's why I said I said, look, the Democrats are going to be kicking out bags of cash all over the country of our taxpayer dollars. Be very careful if you take it and how you use it because they will come after you. And so it sounds like this, you know, President Small is working to do the right thing here and is facing some very heated opposition as a result, which, by the way, I don't know. If I were in the FBI or if I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office and I heard that you've got a leader, whether it's a tribal leader, whether it's any other government leader, leader of an agency, saying, hey, we got $90 million from the federal government. I want to see an audit of where that's going. Oh, well, first I would say, hey, great job, great move, right? But then I would also say, why doth these other people protesteth so much? I mean, right? Like, if you were a federal investigator, FBI, or you were at the U.S. Attorney's Office, and these people are, you know, threatening and wanting to impeach the guy who wants to do an audit. I mean, if you need leads and tips on a on an investigation, I think you found your first trail, right? You've got your trail. You've got your path right there. Anyways, just a crazy story. Okay, another crazy story. Speaking of misusing funds, well, or potential misuse of funds, this one isn't potential, though. This one, you know, the other one, hey, we'll wait for all the facts to come out. But oftentimes where there's smoke, there's fire. But let's go back to this big scandal facing a distinguished Montana Democrat Party operative. She was on the board of the Montana Democrat Party. They're basically their statewide executive committee. We told you earlier this week how this embezzlement scandal is bigger than just one person. I think on Friday we had Darren Gobb from the Montana Sentinel join us in the 7 o'clock hour, and then Tyler Newcomb, who was most recently the executive director of the Montana Republican Party, that joined us later on in the 9 o'clock hour Friday. Well, now Darren Gobb has this for the Montana Sentinel. Abby Lee Cook was charged with and admitted to embezzling over $250,000 from a variety of Democrat campaigns and organizations, including from State Senator Cora Newman and Representative Zoe Zephyr. And, of course, Zephyr, as you guys know, is that radical transgender lawmaker. When the Sentinel exposed Abby Lee Cook last week, after 5 months of research and connecting the dots, we knew it was only the beginning of the story, not the end. Now you've got Zephyr, and this is my words, not the Sentinel words here, but basically what you have happening now is Zephyr and Cora are pretending to be victims, pretending that they didn't know what was going on, even though Jesse James Mullen, a Democrat candidate for Secretary of State last year, was on the state executive committee, and he called, kind of like the president of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe, called for an audit of the books, and they wanted to then target him and kick him off the board. That tells you they knew about it. They all knew about it. Now they're pretending to be victims. Oh, no, no, we were defrauded. Yeah, sure you were. Anyway, if you go check out this piece, though, at MontanaSentinel.press, he's got screenshots of exactly what I told you about last Friday. When I first heard about this story, that there's an embezzlement charges against a prominent Democrat in Montana, I just knew there was a Zoe Zephyr connection. Because remember, he cheerleaded that transgender, transurrection attack on our Montana Capitol and raised a boatload of money off of it. And then all of a sudden is showing up in nice, fancy beach vacations. Oh, showing up in Paris. Oh, wow, how are you paying for all of this travel? Anyway, more on this next.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a huge media buildup and then wall-to-wall coverage of the Alaska summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And most of it has been negative. There were no questions taken. There were no details provided. Both leaders said it was a good meeting, but it was all so vague. What did they agree on? What did they not agree on? No details. A lot of vague assurances. There might be another meeting with Putin, or there might not be. At the same time, President Trump later talked to Zelensky, who will be at the White House today, and he wants a permanent end to the war, not just a ceasefire, to, as he put it, give the Russians some breathing room between invasions. So it was a roll of the dice for the president, and the media verdict is it didn't get much. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Check the backseat. Check the backseat.
All right, got it.
Check the backseat.
That's in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. You're stuck. You're trying to save but still having trouble. There's some practical steps that you can take that helps you adopt smarter savings habits, like tracking expenses consistently, which helps reduce overspending by increasing awareness of where your money is going on a weekly and monthly basis. Check out budgeting apps that can make the process easier by allowing you to allocate funds monthly. Even just writing down purchases can discourage impulsive, unnecessary spending. Paying yourself first is a powerful habit for building savings. It does work best when paired with automatic transfers. And try cooking at home, which is a cost-effective option compared to eating out, which can put a big dent in your wallet. And try switching to generic brands. Store brands typically cost far less than name brand products and often deliver similar quality. And plan major acquisitions around sales seasons and cancel unused gym or club memberships. And the same holds true for streaming subscriptions you don't use. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
Earlier this week, we reported a human case of New World screwworm was reported by the Centers for Disease Control after being discovered earlier this month in a Maryland resident. Colin Woodall, CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, says while it's something the cattle industry needs to monitor, the human case is not a risk to the U.S. cattle industry.
You know, from what we understand, it was an individual who had made a trip to one of the countries in Central America that has New World screwworm, which is all of the countries in Central America right now. Came back, had some pain, went to seek treatment, and discovered that they were infested with New World screwworm larvae. I think the key is that the CDC protocols work. They identified it. CDC is not a PR agency. I can't speak as to why they make the decisions of what they announce or don't announce, but we do know that the protocol worked and that individual was treated and the larvae were destroyed. And while, yes, it's surprising to see that particular story, you know, it's not shocking.
There's been human cases in the U.S. in 2024, 2023, and 2014. But at the end of the day, Woodall said the protocols for protecting humans and livestock from New World screwworm worked as intended.
I think for us, as we are taking a serious approach to protecting ourselves from New World screwworm, the things that we're looking at is, one, did the protocols work? And it's obvious that the protocols work.
Again, that was NCBA's Colin Woodall. I'm Lane Nordlund.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got the phone lines open for you right now. And then coming up here, I think around 7:40, we've got one of the conservative titans in our nation's capital, Grover Norquist with Americans for Taxpayer Reform. He's going to join us around 7:40 this morning. Very interesting topic, too. Did you guys hear about President Trump getting a 10% stake in the company Intel? You know, chip manufacturing is very key to our national security. But I saw even over the weekend, Maria Bartiromo with, you know, she's got Sunday Morning Futures on Fox Business, the Daily Caller, you know, other conservatives are kind of, I think everybody trusts President Trump because he's earned the trust of the people across the board. But I think this is one where a lot of conservatives are very skeptical, saying, wait a minute, the government owning a 10% stake in a company? That sounds eerily socialistic. Grover Norquist is apparently weighing in with more on this story. So I look forward to hearing what Grover Norquist has to say, because, of course, he is a very solid capitalistic conservative. So we'll hear from him here in just a few minutes. All right. Back to this story that the Montana Sentinel has now followed up on. Yeah, so what happened last week with this Montana Democrat Party embezzlement scandal, I think what happened is, because, you know, in Darren Gobb's report, he was saying, look, I was investigating this for 5 months and, exposing a lot of these details. Well, then what happened last week, I think it was Thursday while we were on the air, I got a heads up from some of my sources that, boom, federal charges just dropped. By the way, it's interesting to note, too, if any Democrats are out there saying, oh, well, this is Trump's U.S. Attorney's Office that's leading this prosecution, actually, the name on the charging documents, on the affidavit would probably be the more appropriate term here, is Zeno Baucus, the son of former Democrat Senator Max Baucus, is actually the assistant U.S. attorney assigned to that case, to that prosecution. So that's interesting. So, yeah, that was another interesting angle to it. But what happens is, okay, now the affidavit's out there. Now everybody can report on the story because without having to do 5 months of research like Darren Cobb did, because all they have to do is quote the federal affidavit, right? So a lot of outlets did end up covering that story. I haven't seen hardly any follow-ups, though. And even the initial coverage from, you know, the rest of the media, they tried to downplay it as if this is just one person and not, you know, a bigger story about what's happening with the Democrat Party here. But anyway, this is what Darren Cobb is reporting at the Montana Sentinel here in the report that he just filed, I think, last night. Jesse James Mullen, former executive board member of the Montana Democrat Party, reposted an original post from at Montana Voices 99 on X that the current executive director and finance director of the Montana Democrat Party traveled the world with Abby Lee Cook. Mullen then provided a series of pictures to support his claim. Now, the Montana Sentinel says this: we cannot conclude that the embezzled funds were used to support this travel. The concerns from within the Montana Democrat Party are worth noting, though, as former party officials are at least suspicious. Notably, back in 2023, the Montana Freedom Caucus filed a campaign finance complaint against Zephyr, raising concerns about his excessive travel. Let me go back to the story. Sorry, I got distracted for there just a second. Hey, Caden, I'm looking at our phone line system here. Oh, you're online. Okay, great. I was wondering if I was away or if you were away. Inside baseball, folks, but I was like, oh, man, I hope we're able to get some phone calls because if our system was offline there, we probably wouldn't be able to get them. But, yeah, we do have the phone lines open, 294-0970. All right, sorry for the distraction there. Yeah, notably in 2023, the Montana Freedom Caucus filed a campaign finance complaint against Zephyr, raising concerns about his excessive travel following the April 2023 transurrection at the Montana Capitol building. After Zephyr received the complaint in August of 2023, his ex, then Twitter page, was scrubbed of all photographs showing his national and international travel in the summer of 2023. Before they were scrubbed, though, screen captures were obtained of all relevant posts in case they were needed. It is unknown whether Zephyr's influx of funding covered any portion of these trips. However, given the party's concerns about foreign travel by party officials, it is worth noting and asking whether they were. So, did Zephyr go on quote-unquote official business with all these beach trips and these Paris, France vacations with his significant other, another radical transgender activist? And so here, you know, after all the propaganda, after all the liberal media mob praise, you know, put lavish praise on Zoe Zephyr pushing this transgender agenda, he was on MSNBC. He starts raking in all this dough. And then all of a sudden, oh, going on all these nice, fancy vacations. Wouldn't it be interesting if some in the media did some of the digging that Darren did here for the Montana Sentinel? Yeah, because I remember seeing all those fancy travel pics at the time and saying, wonder how you're paying for all of this, right? Especially when, what does a legislator make in Montana per day, per diem? Not that much, right? So where with Montana? All right, back to it here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. We got Grover Norquist coming up here in just a few minutes. All right, so talking about how Zoe Zephyr was, you know, milking the media support, MSNBC and others, to generate all this campaign cash. And then all of a sudden, he's going on all these fancy trips all over the world. And the Montana Sentinel's got the screenshots of that. But yeah, this just shows you how much, you know, the media establishment, the Hollywood establishment, the Democrat Party establishment was all in on this radical transgender agenda, right? Snoop Dogg, you guys know the rapper Snoop Dogg. Daily Caller is where we found this audio. I mentioned this briefly. We had John Jackson, the Joker from X, on the show yesterday. And I mentioned it briefly. I said, yeah, even Snoop Dogg is clutching his pearls because he can't even watch a movie with his grandkid without seeing this woke LGBTQ agenda shoved down his throat. I guess Snoop Dogg was on a podcast called It's Giving, and he was talking about going to see a 2022 Pixar film, Lightyear. And anyway, here he is, he's taking his grandson to this movie, and all of a sudden his grandson asks him a question. He's like, Grandpa, can that really happen? Anyway, here you go. Thankfully, it's already bleeped out for us, so we don't have to worry about wearing out Caden's umpire arm on that red button here, but I think all the bad words are bleeped out.
From my grandson in the middle of the movie, like, Papa Snoop, how she have a baby with a woman? She a woman. Oh, I didn't come in for this. Can't watch the movie. Hey, man, watch the movie.
Hey, guys.
Oh, anyway, then I think the Daily Caller podcast, you could hear the guy at the end there, you know, kind of weighed in on this story and was dissecting the story, but yeah. Papa Snoop, what the heck is going on here? Man, I just came here to watch a stupid movie. What the heck? I think Snoop Dogg had the reaction that so many of you have had if you've tried to do the same thing. You can't even watch a freaking kids movie without them pushing their far-left agenda down their throats. It's one thing when they're trying to shove it down your throat, but then they're trying to throw it down your kids' and your grandkids' throats. Thankfully, I think younger people, especially the kids who put up with all this COVID BS, they're pushing back on it. It just went too far, and they went so far that instead of indoctrinating these kids, they ticked them off, and they actually opened up their eyes to start seeing the truth. And that's why I'm so excited about what Charlie Kirk and his crew at Turning Point USA is doing to mobilize and activate young folks. Speaking of the stupid COVID years, did you guys hear about this Democrat? The Democrats are having their midsummer meeting. I couldn't find the audio. I don't know if you can find it anywhere, Caden. I tried everywhere, but I heard it on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. This Democrat from California, she said that the ICE raids going after these illegal aliens is worse than COVID. It's worse than COVID. Well, of course she loved COVID because they could go after peaceful, law-abiding citizens. Why are you having people over for Thanksgiving? Where's your mask? But now she's mad because now they're going after actual criminals, the criminals that she wants to politically benefit from, of course.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Back with us here on Montana Talks. He's just been a conservative titan for decades, going back to the Reagan years in our nation's capital, the president of the Americans for Taxpayer Reform. Grover, we got to get you back here for a cigar again one of these days. It was so fun catching up with you, and I had a few fellow veterans who got to sit down and enjoy a cigar with you as well, and we got to do that again. That was a great time.
I would love to do that. I want to come back and work with you guys on getting Montana to be a flat rate tax. I know the governor wants to do that. One single rate so you treat everybody the same. There are 24 states that have a single rate tax. Eight of them it's zero, which is my favorite flat rate. And 16 of them something other than zero. But we really are saying no at the state level to the idea of a graduated income tax, which was Karl Marx's idea, and a bad one, and saying just treat everybody the same, because among other things, Illinois has a single rate tax by constitution. It's exactly 4.95 flat rate. You'd think Illinois would be up at almost 15, like California, over 10, like New York, New Jersey. It's under 5. Why? Because they can only raise taxes if they raise taxes on everyone. And even with a 2/3 supermajority of Democrats, they're scared of the people.
That's great.
They know how to raise taxes on just a few people at a time, you know. Get one of the strays out from the rest of the herd and take it out. Mug people one at a time, but they don't know how to take on all the taxpayers at once. And that's what a single rate tax does.
Yeah.
It protects all taxpayers.
You actually came out to Helena during our legislative session, I think, did a big press conference with Governor Gianforte. And I totally agreed with you guys. There was some debate in the Republican caucus about income tax relief. And I agree with you guys on, you know, flat tax rate, lower rates for all. And don't play this game that the Democrats do. Well, the wealthier have to pay more. The wealthier are going to pay more because they make more. So they're going to pay more with a flat tax, too. It's good for the economy. It's fair. This is America, after all. And then some in the Republican caucus, they kind of tinkered with it. So, I mean, the good news is I think we've now lowered the income taxes in Montana for most everybody below 5%. And then I think there's a trigger in for the remainder to eventually lower that kind of top threshold down even further. So another major step in the right direction, but still not ideal. We still got to fight for the ideal, right?
Oh, absolutely. And this is what distinguishes. If you have a single rate tax, you're telling companies that are looking to invest, people that are looking to move. This is a state where it is very difficult to raise taxes and relatively easy to reduce them. Because when you reduce them, you say, we're going to take the tax down from 5 to 4.7 for everyone. And the people who are consumed with envy, you know, and they say, oh, what about billionaires? They're going from 5 to 4.7 too. Oh, okay. I mean, now what do they say? Because this, the argument that the Democrats have always had, which is if you cut taxes on anyone, they yell, oh, you're cutting taxes on the rich. Well, you cut taxes on everyone, I suppose you do. but this has been the strong success of the Republican Party and progress. If you take a start, from 1932 to 1994, 62 years, the Republicans controlled Congress, both houses, House and Senate, twice in 62 years. And in 94, that's when Republicans, 96% of them signed the pledge, we're never raising taxes. And it was credible because people saw what George Herbert Walker Bush did to himself when he got elected, beating the other Republicans by saying, I'll never raise taxes, beating Mike Dukakis, the Democrat, by saying, I'll never raise taxes, but then raising taxes. And he got thrown out by some guy out of Arizona, which really even a state technically.
Which is why Republicans have to deliver now and uphold their promises, especially on taxation. Grover, one of the big things before we get into the topic of the day about this Intel stock story here, the big thing that a lot of our listeners are liking is Texas, I think, is doing this. Florida's governor is doing this. They're trying to do away with property taxes altogether. Now, I know Montanans do not want a sales tax. We just see that as another way for them to get our hooks in us. But look, we continue to see surplus after surplus after surplus thanks to the lower taxes on the income side. So anyway, your thoughts on the property tax debate and in what states like Montana and Texas and Florida are now turning, what we can do to eventually do away with those. At a bare minimum, I would like to see us move away from a property tax system that bases the tax off of the value of the home instead of, you know, your actual income, for example.
Well, on that one, there's different states have tried different things. And one danger, and this is the danger that Texas has had. In Texas, the state has been fairly frugal. And so they've had extra money. And the blue cities, Dallas, Houston, Austin, has spent like crazy. And then they say, oh my goodness, we have to raise property taxes unless the Republican state legislators and governor send us money. Then we could cut the property tax. Oh, really? Cut it? No. Well, cut it meaning it's not going to go up as much as we'd planned. It'll still go up.
Yeah.
Just not as much as we'd planned.
Same thing here in Montana. The blue cities like Bozeman and Missoula do the same thing. They can't get their spending in line, and so that's why they keep raising property taxes on their own people 20%+ in places like the Democrat-heavy Missoula.
Well, that can be fixed by defeating the people in office or by passing a statewide a constitutional amendment or law that simply says your total state, your total property tax, not the rate and the, just the property. If you pay $2,000 today, you can only have 3% here. And that's the cap. So you can cap the property tax to maybe inflation or to 3%. It's 3% in our friends in Florida. And that forces the mayors and the city councils and so on to be able to say to the unions and to the spending interests and to the, you know, this committee and that committee is to spend other people's money. You know, I'd love to help you, but we have a cap on how much we spend and a cap on how much we tax. So it strengthens the signs of well-meaning politicians, and it shackles the hands of those politicians who'd love to spend, but you're telling them you can't. So I think the most important thing is to limit the spending there, and then over time allow spending to grow less rapidly than the economy, and then your tax budget, your tax payment for the local government becomes a smaller percentage of your income.
Very interesting. All right, well, let's get to the topic of the day here. We got a couple of minutes before we go to our next break, and hopefully, Grover, you can join us for the remainder of the hour here, but Intel, so national security importance, chip manufacturing, so key to our national security and to our economy. Apparently, President Trump, basically, did I hear right that Intel offered up the stock options here to where now basically the U.S. government will basically own 10% of the stock in Intel. I know some conservatives are pushing back. The Daily Caller has a piece pushing back, raising concerns about this. Maria Bartiromo raised some concerns about this on Sunday Morning Futures. Sounds like you've got a different take on this.
Well, I am. You can say under Biden, they were just handing out money in return for probably kickbacks, in return for campaign contributions, stuff like that. Here, the taxpayer still has something. The danger is, and you always have to sort of look two steps ahead, and that is Democrats win. And Trump says, well, if we own 10% of this company, we won't vote the stock. And this guy Newsom in California, you think he'll vote the stock? Oh, yes, he will. And he will make that deal with, I don't know, maybe gun manufacturers, maybe people who make bullets. And then all of a sudden, they'll have on the board of directors people who can control the Second Amendment.
Good point. Good point. Or start pushing some of these companies in a woke DEI, ESG direction, you name it. So how would it be different under a Trump administration? We'll get to that and more. Quick break. More with Grover Norquist right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News Commentary.
President Trump wants to send the National Guard to a deadly, lawless city near you. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
It's time to take the quiz.
It's five questions in less than 5 minutes. We asked people on the streets of New York City to play along. Let's see how you do.
Including the pre-Super Bowl era, what NFL franchise has won the most NFL championships?
I'm going to say the Cowboys.
I guess I would say the Packers.
Take the quiz every day at thequiz.fox, then come back here to see how you did.
And thank you for taking the quiz.
President Trump is set to expand the deployment of the National Guard to 19 states in an effort to assist DHS and local police. So, of course, the left is really freaking out that President Trump might solve the crime crisis nationwide. For them, making you safer is a real problem and a threat to democracy. A couple weeks ago, they were outraged that Trump was only cracking down on D.C. crime to punish the Deep Blue City and asked why he wasn't doing the same in high-crime cities in red states. But now that he is expanding the support to blue, red, and purple states like Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Idaho, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, Ohio, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, and Wyoming. Shocker, they are still mad. That's because what they're really upset about is that the whole effort will work. If it works, and it will, it'll be really hard to put that genie back in the bottle. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With considerable cloud cover across the area today and some scattered showers and thunder showers mainly towards the Bozeman area. High temperature readings otherwise will trend back to about 75 in Bozeman to the mid-80s in Billings. For tonight, with some clouds and some scattered showers and thunderstorms around the region, overnight lows stay from the mid-50s to the lower 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Is a Montana rancher being debanked, being politically targeted because of his outspoken support for the MAHA agenda, the Make America Healthy Again agenda, along with RFK Jr. Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We talked about that on Monday's show. May have an update for you Tuesday. Plus, we'll be taking your phone calls if you got something you want to talk about. Tuesday's Montana Talks, the show where you...
First Avenue North in Billings, or call Auto Brokers of Montana at 406-245-9055.
It's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, here is the headline from the dailycaller.com. Trump's intel deal could set problematic precedent that Democrats can exploit here. President Donald Trump is moving to bolster critical industries by taking equity stakes in private companies, a step the White House says is vital for national security, but that some experts warn could backfire. On Friday, the Trump administration announcing that basically it would acquire a 10% stake in the U.S. chip maker Intel, and suggested similar action may follow with other companies. Grover, you know, so many of us, you know, hey, we're not like the Democrats where we just take the party talking points and just run with whatever they tell us, right? But it seems like on this, but at the same time, we also, you know, Donald Trump has proven time and time again that we can trust his decision making on so many things, even if at first it you kind of wonder about it. What's your take on this one? What do you think Trump will do that's different here than what, say, might have happened like you outlined before the break?
Well, I think he's pointed to how to handle this in recent history. And that is, if you cut the corporate tax rate from 35%, which is where it was when Obama walked out of the White House, down to 21%, that sent all sorts of capital into every business. Instead of creating wealth and having the government take 14% of it, an additional 14%, that stays with the company. And you're seeing when the government, when Trump's tax cut was extended and made permanent, which is all the difference in the world, a permanent tax cut is something that companies build factories over. They don't build factories with a temporary tax cut because you can't do a redo on your factory. So the way to beat the Chinese on defense spending, on chips, Intel, is to reduce, which is about $2 trillion in regulatory burdens on American companies. Let's drop that in half. I mean, the president was saying we're going to do one in for two out for every one in, then he's raised that to eight, six or eight or something. It's getting better, more demanding on that. These are very important. We need to take a $1 trillion a year. Cut that in half That's $1 trillion that goes not to anybody's favorite company, not to some company that looks at campaign contribution, not to some company that the Democrats can, you know, put their foot on their throat and say, give us something. Not the ones that go to just the unionized companies, which is many of the decisions that the Biden people did. We've got money for companies that are unionized. That's what, that's what the money's for. And so they put their thumb on the scale in many, many hidden. Oh, we have money for companies with DEI and things like that. So they nationalize the companies by pretending to make love with them by giving them money. Oh, we give you this money, aren't we great? Now you have to do everything we say.
And then they regulate them to death, and then it actually ends up being going backwards instead of in the positive direction, which is helping us to edge out China when it comes to national security, et cetera. Russia, too, if you want to throw them in. About 30 seconds to go. So what do you think Trump's going to do here, and how do we keep it from paving the way for future, you know, government ownership of businesses, basically?
There is another tax cut bill coming in November than one in the spring. I talked to the president directly, the Treasury Secretary as well, about the idea of saying we're not going to tax inflation, not in the corporate tax, not in the individual taxes, so that when you sell your house, a farm, a ranch, a small business, and you say you paid X and then you sold it for this much, take out how much of that was inflation. On average.
Interesting. All right. We got to hold it there. We're out of time. Grover Norquist, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time, as always, my friend. Great to have you.
A message from FireSafe Montana. With the large number of homes being built in the wildland urban interface, it is the responsibility of the homeowner to use ignition-resistant materials. Many buildings in a wildfire are burned from the roof down. Consider using a metal or asphalt roofing material. The siding of a home is subject to extremely high heat during a fire. Look into the use of stone, stucco, or cement board. Contact FireSafe Montana for more information. This message brought to you by FireSafe Montana and aired by the Montana Broadcasters Association.
Only life had a remote control. You could pause or rewind. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute risk test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.